thank you everybody for coming to support me tonight as I start and get my feet into the ministry. I'm called to be a pastor, and so this is my first time ever speaking, and I am going to be accepting criticism. So after church, I would love to hear from you guys, but I'm going to start with sharing a short story about a friend of mine. Now, here's the thing about my friend. He's what you would consider a typical good guy. For example, he gives to charity. He donates to, he volunteers at the local homeless shelter, and he even supports our local veterans. Now, it had been a while since we had last spoke, so obviously I got to thinking, and I reached out to him, and I was like, hey man, you know, like, how's life been? And when he had responded, I was surprised to read what he had sent. He had said that he had been having a bad day, and that nothing seemed to be going his way. And as I said, I was shocked, because he's a nice guy, you know, why would something bad happen to him? And so quickly showing some concern, I responded, and I asked him what had been wrong. And he had sent me a picture. And you guys wouldn't believe what he sent me. That's why I brought the picture with me to show you. Yeah, as you guys can see, not very appealing. Okay, but in all seriousness, well, that is pretty bad. It led me to ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And well, that story was completely made up. The question itself is not. It's a question highly debated by many, and it's a question that most of us have asked ourselves at least once in our lives. I know I have, and even at one point in my life, I asked myself that question so much that it even led me astray from God. And that is why I'm here to share the answer to this question with you all today, because it's a question that I'm very familiar with, and it's a question that the Holy Spirit helped me to find the answer to. Okay. Here's the answer. You didn't think it'd be that easy, did you? In all seriousness, I believe that the question is flawed. And a flawed question will only provide flawed answers. It's kind of like a mess of cords that's all tangled up. And to answer it, we first have to get all the knots out. We have to untangle this question by first asking another. First question, what defines a good person? And I'd like to hear from you guys in the audience here. I'm not going to provide an answer for this one. Okay, any takers? What defines a good person?
People that are kind to other people.
People that are kind to other people. Great answer. Anybody else? People who follow all the rules, another great answer. Anybody over there? Okay, what?
Integrity.
Integrity, another great answer. Okay. Okay, they go to church. All great answers and all answers that are very common to this question. But we also have to ask another question. What defines a bad person?
Not integrity.
Okay.
Doesn't go to church.
Doesn't go to church. Just pull the Uno reverse on all the good things.
Doesn't follow God's rules.
Doesn't follow God's rules. Okay. Well, this next question here is even more important than the first two. Who gets to anoint a person good or not?
God.
Any takers on that one?
God?
That is a great answer. Because as Christians, we believe that God not only He looks past the outward appearance, and He looks at us for what is in our hearts. He sees past that, and He sees our desires for what they are. So who would be better to define if a person is good or not than God Himself? So why don't we take a look at His Word and see what He has to say about it? So let's take a look at Romans 3, verses 10 through 12. As the Scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. I know, right? What the heck? No one is good. This entire time, we have this idea of a good and a bad person. But in all reality, God has an infinitely high standard that none of us can live up to. and we all infinitely fall short. Well, it's up here, we're down here. That is why Christ died for us in the first place. So now we have a bit of a problem, though. How can we ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people, when we just established that there is no such thing as a good person? How can we ask that? You might be asking yourself a very similar question to the last. Well, it has the same spirit as the other. This question, unlike the other, isn't flawed. So why does God allow bad things to happen to the people that he loves? We know as Christians that he loves everybody, right? He died for each and every single one of us, no matter how bad, no matter how good. So saying that God allows bad things to happen symbolizes a gift of free will. Hold on, let me look at my notes, guys.
That's okay.
Okay, give me a second. Okay, so that's a good question up there. But it's a question rooted in the same spirit as the last, but unlike the other, it isn't flawed, just misunderstood. So let's clarify a few things. By saying God allows bad things to happen implies a gift of choice, free will, that is. Now, what do we know about free will? Let's take a look at Genesis. In Genesis, it says, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. What is the takeaway from that? We see that God has given them a decision by placing the two trees in the garden. And in that same way, we also have a decision. So as you guys can see, I was a slide behind. God gives us a decision. And the next takeaway is God guides our decisions. But with every decision, God gives guidance. And we can see that when he instructs them not to eat of the fruit. In that same way, God also guides our decisions. Now, we all know how that story ends. It ends with a choice rooted in selfish gain. And the same way that their human nature affected their decision, human nature also affects our ability to make proper decisions. We now know that we have a decision and is guided by God, but our human nature also misleads. So you might be asking yourselves now, why does God even give us a decision then if we're bound to mess it up because of our human nature? Well, because he may not always have a respect for our decision, God has a deep respect for our God-given right to make a decision that he has given us. With that decision, it allows us to be candid, and God is deep on wanting us to be candid and real and vulnerable with him. So if there wasn't free will and he didn't have a respect for us to make our own decisions, we wouldn't be able to be candid like we are with God today. And so God may not have a respect for our decisions that we make, but like I said, God has a respect for our ability to make decisions. Misconception. With this information, we know that God does not cause our decisions, but allows us to make a decision for ourselves. A supporting factor of this statement is found in the word free will. Free. It's right there in the word. Capital F-R-E-E. Now, what does it mean to be free? The definition states, enjoying personal freedom, not subject to control or domination of another. So if the definition was not proof enough there that God does not cause our decisions, but allows, giving us permission to do what we will with our decision, then I don't know what is. So give me just a second. My notes are acting up. Okay. Now, for the final conclusion, I know this was short, guys. I'm a little bit nervous, but now for the final conclusion, why does God allow bad things to happen to the people that he loves? God does not cause bad things to happen, but instead gives us a decision, and what we do with it is up to us. We have the power to make a good decision with God's guidance. But what, with the help of God's guidance. But we all fall short, and oftentimes we make bad decisions because of our human nature. And our decisions, whether good or bad, they affect the others around us. Therefore, answering the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And I do have one more point that I would like to cover before we close, and I completely forgot to open with prayer. So, I mean, I'm a jumbled mess up here. But one more thing that has come to light when speaking to some people about the topic of which I was going to be speaking, is they gave a very specific example of a person dying or someone being in a situation that is not in a person's hands at all. To be frank, it's not in anyone's hands. And give me a second. Anyone's hands, and how they had blamed God for what had happened. And I was asked why that was, so here's my answer. While we might think it is God causing those things to happen, he isn't, and here's why. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, God told them. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, God told them that this day you shall die. And we know that when we sin, death has entered our bodies, and the penalty of sin is death. We have all sinned, therefore we will all die. And while Christ came and he died for us and he took the penalty for our sin, overcoming death itself, and we can live eternally, we still live in broken bodies in a broken world. And so, while we are not promised that we won't suffer, we will definitely suffer, that is for sure. But the suffering won't last forever because Jesus Christ has made a way. So let's pray. God, we thank you for the message. And I thank you for this opportunity that I've been given. And I ask, God, that you would allow us to maintain this knowledge, that we would hold on to it, and that you would not only give us the knowledge to understand it, you would give us the wisdom to apply it, that when someone asks us the question now, we can provide an answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.